Hi, this is Malayan Verveer.
And this is Kim Azzarelli.
We are co-authors of the book, Fast Forward, How Women Can Achieve Power and Purpose.
And you're listening to Seneca Women, Conversations on Power and Purpose, brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Tori Burch built her business into a global lifestyle brand. But what you may not know is that at the heart of her company is a foundation that empowers women entrepreneurs and encourages us all to embrace our ambition. Listen to this conversation between Tori and Milan and learn how Tori put purpose at the center of her strategy, found support in unexpected allies, and overcame naysayers who ridiculed the idea that a purpose-driven business could be successful. And make sure to stick around after the conversation to hear our top takeaways and tips that you can use in your life and work.
Tori is a name everybody knows and a label that so many of us have worn. She has been way ahead of the curve, not just in fashion, but in the way she runs her business. We've been talking about how companies use their power for purpose, and they are doing that not just to accelerate progress, but also to be companies that make that kind of a difference that aligns with their business. She has embraced purpose and ambition clearly in a way that works. There's no doubt about it. It goes together. It propelled her company, which was launched in 2004, into a global business with more than 250 boutiques around the world, and more than 3,000 stores are selling her label. So, Tori, that's quite an accomplishment. And it goes on and on. But there is so much about you I want the audience to know.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
How did you get so many famous people to do this video?
Well, famous and hopefully some that aren't. Because you know what? It occurred to me that there is a very harmful stereotype, and that's when women are ambitious, it's perceived as a negative and
sure
celebrated
is.
In men. And so we wrote an email, and it was as simple as that. And we put it together fairly quickly. So I think it was about a month and a half before we shot for that. And I just said we could together do a public service announcement and start the dialogue to change something that needs to change.
You're absolutely right, and it's so true in politics. There's something about a female candidate being appearing to be ambitious, as
yes.
she surely is, and it's a good trait. In men, it's highly admired to be ambitious.
Well, it's interesting. When I first, and actually Milan was one of the first people I ever had the guts to cold call and ask for a meeting in 2008. But one of the reasons we, and then I'll go back to that, came to the word ambition, even, is there was the first article written on me and the company by the New York Times, and the journalist looked at me and said, "Are you ambitious?" And I thought it was such a rude question. And after that article, a friend of mine called me and said, "Why on earth did you shy away from the word ambition?" And that was in 2005, a year after I started the company, and it just really struck a chord. And since that moment, I realized that's something that I wanted to work on and change.
Well, it's a great contribution because we've got to shatter that stereotype.
Yes.
So thank you for that. Now, there was an article, I think it's in the current Vogue, in which you talk about how brands are starting to realize that their values and actions have to be aligned with their customers. Which is maybe for some a very novel concept that those two go together. But you've been doing that since you launched, Tori. You have had this sense of your mission, your purpose. Maybe you'll even tell us about how first time I met Tori, she was well into her foundation work, but she actually started thinking about not starting a business so much as starting a foundation. Tell us about it.
Well, first of all,
it's in Fast Forward too because it's a great story.
My business plan was about how do you build a global lifestyle brand so that we could start a foundation. And when I went to meet with people, particularly private equity, they really almost laughed at me and said, "Never ever say business and charity work." I can't even say that because that's not what we do. Charity work in the same sentence. And it was really funny because Last Christmas, I went to a conference, and it said, doing good is good for business. And I called one of those people, and I said, oh, hey, you know, I just came from this conference, and I think it was doing good is good for business. And I said, just so you know, I think things have changed. And he goes, well, what do you want? And I said, well, check for the foundation, naturally. And so he told me a one-time check, and I should never call back, but I will. But back to when I met Milan, it was one of those cold calls, and I'll never forget it because I was in awe of all the work you were doing, Milan. I was, and she took my meeting, and I said, you were such an amazing support system and gave me hope after I was ridiculed and told never to talk about business and social responsibility. But I will say that was a meeting that I will never forget, and I just said to Milan backstage, what I never realized back then is how important purpose would be for the bottom line of the business.
And that's a really important message.
And now all these
businesses. And one that you've practiced. And now it's au courant.
Times have changed.
It's become very au courant for a lot of good reasons. So let's talk about the foundation a little bit.
So, yes. So one of our best partners is here today, Bank of America. And we have partnered with Bank of America to give women access to low interest loans. And access to capital is obviously one of the major barriers women face. So that has really unlocked a big part of what we're trying to do. And to date, we've given out over $50 million to women entrepreneurs in the United States, and they just raised that to $100 million. So we're extremely excited.
So how...
Thank you.
Well deserved. How did you zero in on working with women entrepreneurs?
So it was a process. I knew that I wanted the foundation to be about women. I knew that. And I mean, women and children. I went to Haiti. I did so much work to figure out what would be the best way that I could contribute. And what I realized is I had a lot of experience in a startup and being an entrepreneur. And I also saw the challenges that women face day in and day out. And women are great investments. That is something I know. And the women that we work with are what is going to bring our economy to the highest place ever if we invest in them. And really looking at their businesses, looking at the way that they juggle and collaborate and mentor each other, the idea of peer-to-peer mentorship is something that we're really interested in. It's all good when I think about women in business. For now, it's in the United States, but we hope to be international at some point.
You know, it's so terrific because entrepreneurship really is the wind at the back of the economy, and women entrepreneurs in the United States have contributed immeasurably to our economy besides their own lives, inclusive prosperity, and so much more. And I think you're zeroing in on something that related to yourself, being an entrepreneur, because entrepreneurs do face a lot of challenges.
Particularly women, all entrepreneurs, but certainly women entrepreneurs.
Women entrepreneurs, but are you... you're addressing the credit, which you mentioned, because it's very hard to access credit, which is why you and Bank of America have created a great partnership. Are there trainings? Are there other aspects?
So we have a fellowship program that just literally opened last week. And what's exciting is it used to be 10 women that we would fly into New York. Now it's 50, and it's for a week. And we have seminars, we introduce them to potential investors, but really it's about also the networking that they get from that week and then their continued networking after. That's something they need. Men are great at networking, and women really can benefit a lot from that. It's all business. It's the only common thread is that they're women. There's there's a chocolate company. There's all kinds of businesses. There's a woman that makes movie sets sustainable. There's a hot dog stand. There's a deli. There's so many different kinds of businesses. It's very inspiring.
So I know that the next cohort is open now.
We're taking applications.
And do you charge for this?
We don't. We don't charge, and we fly them in for a week. And it's amazing for all of us at the foundation. Lori is sitting right here. She spearheads the whole week, and she's done a great job I talk to them throughout the week and then at the end, and they have gotten something out of it. So it's 50 women for a week. It's our fourth year.
And do they tell you why they want to participate? Because you get lots of applications.
We get a lot, and it's hard to whittle it down. But that said, we want as many as possible because we want to create that network. And we've created a platform online on the ToriBirchFoundation.org site. And over 15,000 women have written business plans from our site, but also it gives them the ability to communicate and network.
And what question do you ask them? Do you ask them why they think they would benefit from this program?
Yeah, that's a question. And then we have our summit coming up on March 5th, which is also a question, which is we tackle unconscious bias, stereotype, and ambition. And we do not charge, but we ask people to apply. And they have to write essays on why they should be there. So we really curate the audience. And it's a day that's rapid fire. If anyone in the audience would like to come, we would love it. It's 1,200 people, and it's from 9 in the morning till 6 at night. A lot of action.
Sounds good to me.
One thing that I will say that our foundation feels very strongly about is having men be part of the conversation. And we can talk about women's issues all day long to each other, and we all agree. We have a lot of things to work on, but we need men to be part of this dialogue.
Tell them what you told me about the first question you asked two of your guests.
So I was telling Milan, I was asking her to come to the summit. And last year, we touched on politics. So I had Joe Kennedy and Kevin McCarthy on the stage. And I said to them, I'm going to start with asking you a question I get or have gotten every single interview. And I said, so tell me, what are you wearing today?
I'm sure they'd never been asked.
And how do you manage being a father and having a family?
Touché. So
they started looking at their ties. They had no clue.
You mentioned Bank of America.
Yes.
We talked about the difficulty of women entrepreneurs accessing capital. We are focused on partnerships and what a difference they make. How does your partnership work with Bank of America?
So we have been working together now 4 years, and we knew that we wanted to give together money out, work with local CDFIs, local lenders, to identify the entrepreneur. And women are great investments, as I said. They pay their loans back over 95% of the time. So it's a win. And the loan size that we're addressing, banks generally don't want to deal with, as we mentioned backstage. So our average loan size is roughly $16,000 to $20,000. So they help us partner with the CDFIs across the United States and really help us find the entrepreneurs. And then collectively, we invest in them and then hopefully take their businesses to the next level.
These partnerships really bring to the table different competencies, different sets of resources, and the reality is that it then achieves something that one may not have been able to achieve by itself.
And what was interesting is it took us a little while to figure out how to give out the capital. I thought that would be easier than in fact it was, but it has to be with the right time of the business and the right amount. And we certainly, investing in women is a no-brainer.
So she's doing it, and she's doing it in a great way, and we're really,
Thank
really
so
happy to
Milan.
Have you with us, Tori. Again, the
Thank
time
you.
Has just vanished.
Thank you very much.
Stay tuned for our takeaways after this break. That was a great conversation. Check out Tori's foundation at ToriBirchFoundation.org. Now, here are our top takeaways. First, it's important for each of us to embrace our ambition. We need to challenge the double standard in which women are criticized for their ambition while men are celebrated. Second, you can put purpose at the center of your business strategy and succeed. Purpose and business success are not contradictory. In fact, often purpose is the fuel that drives success. Tori is such a great example of this. She built her company with the intention of having a positive impact. And just look at all she's achieved. Lastly, go outside of your comfort zone and reach out to people outside your immediate network who share your values. They can give you the energy and support you need to keep going. Tori got that inspiration and support in those early days when she cold called Milan. Now, our challenge to you this week is to think outside the box and reach out to someone unexpected who shares your values and could work with you to achieve your goals. You're listening to Seneca Women, Conversations on Power and Purpose, brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio, with support from founding partner P&G. Listen to Seneca Women Conversations on Power and Purpose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please support this podcast by telling your friends, subscribing, and rating us. For more information on Seneca Women, follow us on social media, visit our website, senecawomen.com, and check out the Seneca Women app, free in the App Store. Have a great day.